This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
God is good. He's been speaking to us. I thought that I had a lot to say this morning. He's already said it. That's good, isn't it? That's encouraging to me. And I hope that you're encouraged because if God came in and started saying something totally different during that time that we're together, you know, that prophetic time, I'd start to rethink what I was going to share with you. But I'm confident in what God has got to share with us this morning. It is good to be back. It is good to have my voice back. All the men missed that last week. I had no voice. Can you believe that? What a sad world would that be? Karen without a voice. I still managed to talk the whole weekend. I still managed to speak to Bev the whole way home in the car last Sunday, even with no voice. I can do it. I can do all things. But it's back today. God is good. He's been speaking to us. And I know that you've been hearing him. I just want to read out again. I read this out during the prayer time this morning. I just want to read one verse because I can't get away from it. It's from Psalm 28. And it says, starting at verse 7, it says, "Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming." I just can't. That just does something to me every time. God is wooing us. And he's saying it to us this morning. Is your heart hearing him say, come and talk with me? And is your heart responding, Lord, I've heard you and I'm coming? He wants to talk with us this morning, and he has been. The words this morning about the silver and the purifying and the giving ourselves wholly to God, the surrender. He doesn't want the best part of us. He wants all of us. I think as I share with you this morning, you'll see how God is just tying it all in together. I'm not moving away from my topic for the year, which is love. But today I want us to look, first of all, let's go to Ephesians. I'd like you to go to Ephesians 1. And while you're looking for Ephesians, I just want to remind you that God is love. It's not something he does. It's who he is. God is love. And God loves you. You know, we forget that sometimes. We can say, God so loved the world. But God loves you individually. He knows you inside and out. He knows you better than you know yourself, and he loves you. Nothing can separate you from God's love. God loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. So let's look at Ephesians 1, and I just want to read a couple of verses from here. I'm hopefully going to be able to do it. There's going to be a lot of scripture this morning that I want you to read with me. So if you've got your Bible, if you haven't got one, scoot along next to someone who's got one and look over their shoulder. Ephesians 1, verse 3. "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." I want to just hone in on that one verse. God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy. God chose us and in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Today I want to look at love, a call to holy living. The Bible talks a lot about righteousness and holiness, and the whole Bible, actually, especially the New Testament for us, is all about how to live our life. It's all about how to live our life, what we should think, what we should feel, what we should do. It's all about how we live our life. But I just want to point out the difference between righteousness and holiness, because there is a difference. Righteousness is about our position. Holiness is about our character. Righteousness is about our position. We are made righteous by Jesus. Righteousness means that we are in right standing. It means that we've been made right. We are in right standing with God. Our righteousness has nothing to do with anything we have done or can ever do. It's all about what Jesus has done. Romans 5, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Righteousness is about our position, where you stand right now, not because of, if you're born again, right now, not because of anything you have done or can ever do, you are righteous. Jesus has given you his righteousness. It's what he's done. Holiness, however, is something that we can do something about or not. Now, I want you to hear me well. Stay with me. We're made righteous by the blood of Jesus. None of us are more righteous than the other. Do you know that? None of us are more righteous than the other. We are all righteous because of the blood of Jesus. However, when it comes to holiness or being holy, that isn't the case. God calls us to be holy. He calls us out to be separate. And that's what holy means. Holy means to be separate, called out, set apart for a specific use. Holy. God calls us to be holy. It's him that calls us. And we're given instructions on what we have to do. We have a choice. 2 Corinthians 7:1. I just want to read a few verses to you to explain what I'm talking about here. Because we have these precious promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. Hebrews 12:14. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Ephesians 4:30. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. It tells us to get rid of all bitterness, rage. We have a choice in holiness. God calls us out. We are righteous because of him. He calls us to be holy. But we have a choice. When I sit down of an evening in front of the television, God doesn't, if I choose to watch something I shouldn't, he doesn't make the television switch off. Does he do that for you? You know, do you know what I'm saying? He doesn't, if there's some thing that I shouldn't be doing, he doesn't, you know, make my body free so that I can't do that. He doesn't, so that's what I mean by we need to do something about our holiness. I hope that's making sense to you. We can't do it in our own strength, and we'll get to that, but it's a choice. Being holy is a choice that we make. God calls us to be holy. He desires us to be holy, but we have a part to play. We have moved, I think, somewhere, as we do, as a race of people, we've moved in that grace where we come to God, we present ourselves, and we don't have to do anything else because, remember, it's not about works. But my Bible is full of things that I should do. And it talks to me a lot about what I have to do. God enables me to do it, but I have a choice. Right in the beginning, God said, I set before you life and death, choose life. He gives us a choice. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be separated unto him so that he can do his will through us, but he gives us a choice. So holiness is something we can play a part in. Our God, I said this a couple of weeks ago, God is a jealous God. That's his name. He's not envious. He doesn't envy something that he can't have. He's jealous for you because you are rightfully his. When you give your life to him, when you come and say, Lord, I surrender. We've sung it in some of the songs this morning. I give you everything. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. We come and we surrender. We belong to him and he wants a relationship with us. He is jealous for a relationship with us. It requires complete surrender. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. And I want to read quite a bit out of 1 Peter. Because I want to talk about what does a holy life look like? What is a holy life? What does it look like? I read a quote during the week in my quiet time. I've been reading, again, it's a book that I go back to often, My Utmost for His Highest. Has anyone ever read that? Oswald Chambers, yeah, it's a great book. You can't, you know, if it's in your library, it's one I go back to often. And I read a quote this week from that book that says, it is inbred in us that we have to do exceptional things for God, but we have not. We have to be exceptional in the ordinary things. Every day, from the minute you wake up in the morning till you go to bed at night, doing the dishes, feeding the dog, driving to work, speaking to your neighbour, dropping the kids off at school, dealing with people on the phone, in everything. It's not in the big things. It's in our ordinary, everyday life. God has called us out. We have to be exceptional in the ordinary things. A holy life is a life lived imitating God. It says in Ephesians, and I'm getting back to Peter, don't leave there. Ephesians 5:1 says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. It doesn't say imitate God when you come to church on a Sunday morning. Imitate God when you need something. Imitate God when you want to present a good picture to the world. It says, imitate God in everything you do because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Be holy in your word, your thought, and your deed. Let's have a look at Peter. I actually want to read 1 Peter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 13, and I'm going to read quite a bit. We're going to read right through to chapter 2, verse 12. So, the heading in my Bible says, a call to holy living. When I read this scripture this week, have you ever read the word and it just comes alive to you? It's so exciting. You just want to keep going. It's challenging, but you can't put it down. That's been happening to me this week. A call to holy living. Verse 13. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Action. Prepare your mind for action. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you, I want you to put your name in there, is what I want you to do this morning. Don't think about anybody else. So Karen, you must live as God's obedient child. Don't slip back into your old way of living to satisfy your own desire. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favourites. Karen, he will judge you or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as a temporary resident. I read that and go, Karen, remember, this isn't where you live. This isn't what it's all about. You didn't know any better when you were doing those things before, but now you do know better. Church, every single person sitting in this room, I can say with absolute confidence, now you do know better. We know better, church. We know better. We didn't then, but now we know better. Don't fall back into the old way of living where you just satisfied your own desire. We must be holy in everything we do. Verse 18, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it wasn't paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He's talking about us, church. I just can't read this without Jesus. How can I live my life any other way? There's a psalm that says, I will thank you, God, for everything you've done by living my life the way that I should. If I'm not living my life the way that I should, what am I saying? I'm talking to myself here, church, as much as I'm speaking to you. What am I saying to Jesus? Jesus, who gave his precious blood, he was sinless, he was spotless, the Lamb of God. We sang about it so much this morning. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. And now in these last days, he's been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God. And you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. You've been born again. Church, everyone in here, you've been born again. But not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scripture says, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. You, church, everyone, you've had the good news preached to you. So get rid of all evil behavior. That's a responsibility on you. That's a responsibility on me. It doesn't say now you've come to Christ, he will get rid of all your evil behavior. You get rid of all your evil behavior. We are such victims. We have such a victim mentality. Someone else made me do it. The devil made me do it. If that person hadn't have done that, if this situation hadn't have happened, Where's our part? Where's my part? It was my sin that held him there. It was my sin. It was my rebellion. It's the choices I've made. It's the choices you've made. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Know that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. You are his holy priests. Through the meditation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor. And anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him, recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone, and he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word. And so they must meet the fate that was planned for them. Verse 9. But you are not like that. You are royal priests. Sorry, you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation. You are God's very own possession. Does God own you? Does God own you? We need to think about that. We don't like to think in our modern society of anybody owning us. We're our own person. We make our own decisions. No one can tell me what to do or feel or how to be. I have a right. I have rights, you know. Have you got rights? Not if God owns you. Does God own you? Does God own me? Does my life show that? Or do my words say one thing and my life show something else? What a challenge. The scripture is alive and powerful and sharp, and it's piercing. And sometimes it hurts. Does God own you? Verse 9. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Verse 12, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbours. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honourable behaviour and they will give honour to God when he judges the world. I'll stop there. Does God own you? We say it so easily. Is my life representing that? We need to work at living a holy life. We need to work at not bringing sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way we live. He has identified you as his own. You are walking around representing Jesus Christ in this earth. We are his ambassadors. That's not a minor thing. I want to read this to you. 2 Corinthians tells us that we're Christ's ambassadors. It's as if God is making his appeal through us. That's an amazing thing. That scripture says, when I'm speaking to somebody, it's as if God himself were making an appeal to that person through me. I am representing everything that God is. Generally speaking, an ambassador is a respected official acting as a representative of a nation. Sent to a foreign land, the ambassador's role is to reflect the official position of the sovereign body that gave him authority. What are you, what am I representing to this world? You know, the word that Trish shared with us this morning. When I look, do I see a reflection of Jesus Christ? Does the world see that in me? It's a challenge. It's not a condemning word, church, because God says we are holy because he is holy. We can be holy because he's our Father. You know, when you were born again, you got a total blood transfusion, a total new family, a DNA change. Everything about you is gone if you are born again. It's all new and it's all Christ. It's all Jesus. It's everything that he is. Why do we choose the other? We can do all things through Christ. All things are passed away. All things have become new. What are we representing to this world? And I'm not saying that we have to represent to this world perfect human beings, because we may as well all just stay in here and hide away if that's what we're going to do. But, you know, how are we different? What are we saying to the world? Yes, we may, what is that? I might be persecuted, but I'm not crushed. I may be abandoned, but I'm not destroyed. You can knock me down, but you're not going to take me out. God is for me. Who can be against me? What can this world do to me if I lose everything that we have? We hold on to things so tightly that aren't even ours to have in the first place. All right, I'm just going to cover slot a little bit. How do we live a holy life? Then how do we do this? If we're to pursue a holy life, because the word tells us that, pursue it, go after it. Don't just wait for it to come and fall on you one day, because I can promise that's not going to happen. If you're just waiting for holiness to fall on you and you'll leave this place or someone will pray for you and you'll walk out holy, but that hasn't happened for me yet. That way, where someone's prayed and all of a sudden I'm... Do you know what I'm trying to say? God makes us holy, but we have a decision to make. We can't live a holy life or be holy by our own effort. It's by complete surrender. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It does require a decision on our part. I set before you life and death. Choose life. God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. It's all there, but are you accessing it? Are you making use of it? Are you doing what God told you to do? 2 Peter 1. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises, church. He's given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of that, make every effort. That's something I have to do. That's something you have to do. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us everything we need to live a holy life, a life pleasing to him. He's given us everything we need. But we have to make every effort to respond. Do you know what the promises are? How can you respond to a promise that you don't even know? Are you reading his word? Are you doing his word? I want to finish with this. Psalm 119. And no, don't worry, I'm not going to read the whole psalm. All those that know, it's the longest psalm in the Bible. It's hard to know when to stop. Psalm 119 has 176 verses and almost all of them refer to the word. But I want to read some. I'm going to start at verse 1. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. We look for happiness all over the place, in all the wrong places. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil and they walk only in his paths. In other words, they pursue holiness. They seek holiness. They desire holiness above everything else. They do not compromise with evil and they walk only in his paths. You, God, you have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would constantly reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. I'm going to read just a couple of verses out that I've highlighted in Psalm 119. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truth in your instruction. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments. Keep me from lying to myself. Make me walk along the paths of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me my life through your word. Help me abandon my shameful ways, for your regulations are good. Guide my steps by your word, so I won't be overcome by evil. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. God loves you. He is jealous for you. Have you heard him say this morning, come and talk with me? That's what he would, come and talk with me. He created us for fellowship because he loves us. Come and talk with me. Is your heart responding, God, I hear you and I'm coming to talk with you? God, I want to be holy because you're holy. Thank you, God, for making us in right standing. But there's a part to play on holiness. You know, we're not all equally holy. Because God calls us to play a part in that. He's called us out. He sets us apart, but he's asking us to make every effort to respond to his promises. Let's pray. God, I believe with my whole heart that you have clearly been speaking to us this morning. The prophetic word, the songs we've sung, if we will just listen to you, if we'll pay attention, you're saying, come and talk with me. Thank you, God, that you come and speak with us. Thank you, God, that you have put us in right standing. Nothing that we've done, nothing that we could ever do, but because of Jesus, because of your blood, Jesus, because of your sacrifice, I am in right standing with the Father. I will thank you by living my life as I should. Thank you that you've called us out to be holy. You've called us out to be different to the world. You've called us to be just like you. In thought, in word, and in deed. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that this week, in the coming days, that you would create such a hunger in us for your word, such a desire that nothing else will satisfy, everything else will just seem dull and boring. But your word is alive and it's powerful and it's sharp. I need a hunger for your word, God. I want to live a holy life to please you, Lord. Show us what it means to truly be your children, to live our lives as we should, God. Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.